You're listening to the Confidence Podcast, your one-stop shop for motivation, inspiration, and confidence to help you boldly and bravely take action on your dreams. I'm your host, Trish Blackwell, and I teach entrepreneurs and dream chasers to take action on the dream God put on their hearts. I empower go-getters to get past their stubborn insecurities so they can crush their goals, outgrow their fears, and create prosperity in their businesses and lives. It's time to rise and shine. Let's dive deep.
Okay, and we are diving deep today. This is episode number 294 of the Confidence Podcast. I'm your host, Trish, and if you are a returning listener, you might be going, what is wrong with your voice? And you guys, yeah, we have had some illness in the house, but you know what? The show must go on. And I do have a voice coach, and shout out to Lauren Anderson. She said, guard your voice. Don't do anything that I wouldn't recommend. And this is probably something she wouldn't recommend, but you guys, the show must go on. I show up for you. And I wanted to let you know that we're going to keep it short and sweet because I'm bringing somebody today who has been game changing for me. She is one of the most instrumental people in my confidence journey. And before I even tell you about her, we're talking today about how to fake it till you make it. You've probably heard this concept of what does faking it till you make it mean? How do I do that? Does it really work? There's a lot of people who think a lot of different things, but I can tell you for a fact, in my story, it changed my life. In my guest's story, it changed hers as well. So I, from my personal experience, am a fan of faking it till you make it. Done the right way, though. There's a way to do it. Our guest goes into that in detail, so you will get the full coaching on that. But before I tell you about this guest, like seriously, you guys, it's a dream that I have her on the show. I do want to highlight our reviewer of the week. It is Kara Chavez. And Kara, thank you for taking the time to write a review on iTunes because that is how more people find the show. And you know that moment where you serendipitously came upon the show and was like, wait, what? This is the encouragement I've needed. So Kara, what she said is she said, Trish has done a wonderful job with bringing real life issues to the table. Being a person who is really had negative thinking about herself, especially coming in adulthood, Trish has and continues to help me with daily struggles. She has helped me change my perspective and giving me permission to forgive myself on those and those around me. I am still on the struggle bus, but with the help of this podcast, I am slowly getting off that bus. Go me and go you, Kara, indeed. All right, let's dive into this because I'm sure you guys are not interested in hearing my scratchy voice today. But let me tell you about my guest. My guest is Caroline Lotinga, and she is a client strategy director at MOI Global. And what does that mean? They are an award-winning B2B creative agency that connects people with new breeds of buyers. They re-engineer marketing ecosystems to target the places where people hang out and where they want to be connected to. They've got offices in London, San Francisco, Singapore, and Sydney. Okay, all that said, that makes her sound fancy-dancy, doesn't it? And she is indeed, in my book, fancy-dancy. My friend Caroline is, my God, one of the most important people in my life. She is my best friend in London, one of my best friends in France. If you've read my first book, The Skinny Sexy Mind, she is one of the people mentioned often in that book. And I would say she's one of the most instrumental people, probably one of the top five people in my life who has helped me walk into and step into this confident version of myself. She is a friend that God brought me at the perfect time of my life. And you'll hear us talk about that. And the reason she was on the show is because we ended up, because of business, she was out here in the DC area. And we got to connect. We got to spend a day. We literally connected, you guys, and had 12 hours together. And she probably is part of the reason I'm hoarse. Like, no, my son had pneumonia. And, like, I'm going to call maybe I'm partially hoarse because of that. But Caroline and I got together. We hadn't seen each other in 8 years. We had spent a year together, 12 years from here is when we explored France. And when we really both at the same time faked it till we made it. And we stepped out. We entered France, like, this person that was insecure, self-doubting. And when we both left France, we had faked it till we made it into this version of ourselves that we are both so proud of. And I'm so proud of her on a personal level and a professional level. And we, when we got together, we literally probably, it's a miracle we breathed the whole time we were together. We, for 12 and a half hours straight, we did not stop talking. And so that's the type of person I am so excited to bring to you, because she is somebody, and I really am not exaggerating when I say she's one of the most five important people who has impacted my confidence, my joy, my courage to just walk into this world as myself. And it's a pleasure and a privilege to be able to share her with you guys, the Confidence Podcast. And I hope that you are encouraged by her example of just stepping into the person you've always wanted to be. And without any further ado, I'm so excited to introduce my dear, dear, dear friend, one of my absolutely favorite people in the world, Caroline. Okay, you guys, she is here in person across the continent with me, laughing her butt off at me right now as we sit at a beautiful winery. And so if you hear some people in the background, yes, this is not studio quality podcast, but the quality of conversation you're about to jump in on is worth it. Now she's going, oh no, the pressure. My dear, dear friend who has been life-changing for me with my confidence, my good friend Caroline. So Caroline, welcome to the Confidence Podcast.
Thank you so much. It's slightly surreal. I was going to say, when I decided to come to a winery with you, I wasn't expecting to be doing a podcast, but I'm more than happy to answer any questions, especially because she's feeding me some wine at the moment. So
we had a great cheese board and goat pizza. Not goat pizza. Goat cheese pizza.
Yeah.
And some fig jam.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very British of her to have us have that part of what we eat. Anyways, you guys, so here's the deal. You heard me in the intro mention that Caroline was one of the pivotal people for me in my confidence and in my confidence in friendships. And if, Caro, if you don't mind just kind of, one, sharing how we met, mm-hmm. and then two, tell us a little bit about you, what you do, and this concept of when you decided to fake it till you make it, how you got to be the confident Caroline that I know.
So that's actually really interesting, because when we first met, it was at what we called a stage, and that was a two-day training course when we went in France, and I met you and Angie, so the three of us, the trépied that came to be, over that two-day period. And we became firm friends very quickly, but I would have to say that the first impression you had of me was not what you have now, which was, and you probably don't remember this.
I remember.
Yeah, but I remember you guys saying to me, You had an air of potentially arrogance, but I think it was insecurity, I would say, and that you didn't think I'd be very approachable. Now, as you know, I am probably, hopefully, one of the most approachable people, because yes. I smile a lot. I'm always waving and hoping someone's going to come and say hello to me.
You guys, she literally is always waving, and she is tall and beautiful and intimidatingly beautiful, and then these long waving welcoming arms, and so you're like, wait, is she talking to me? Like, you have literally had me peeing in my pants in streets in foreign countries before, laughing so hard.
I know I have, and it's embarrassing to do this. Yeah, no, that the whole peeing in the street thing is definitely something I don't recommend.
But it's something I had a bad habit of doing when I'm around you, because I know.
Well, it's mutual, right? That's the main thing.
Right.
So yeah, we met at this. We had that experience. And for me, when I first met, when we first went there, it was a moment in time where I really felt that I didn't want to be the same person that I'd been before. I'd been at university, your college, I've been there for 2 years, and this was my sandwich year. So it was an opportunity for me.
We call it a sandwich year.
Yeah.
We call it a gap year.
Yeah. Well, gap insinuates that it's basically you're not doing anything, which is probably not far from the truth. A little bit of teaching along the mix. A fair amount of wine and bread and cheese. But no, we call it a sandwich year, which probably bread and cheese actually makes quite a lot of sense. I've never thought about that before. But no, we called it a sandwich year because, you know, sandwiched around the course. Anyway,
yes.
Suffice to say, I spent a lot of time, you know, with some fantastic friends, but always really insecure about who I was, not really feeling very confident, or was slightly shyer in the background. And going to France for the first time, away from family, away from the friends, a completely new raw experience, was something that was revelationary for me. It meant that I didn't have to be the same person that I was before because nobody knew me. So I could reinvent myself or be the person that I've always wanted to be, which is to have the confidence and be able to run down the street, you know, at a, like randomly without anybody actually, yes, they would laugh and the peeing in the street that Trisha talks about is exactly what probably was the kind of the accumulation of that. But I didn't worry about it. I suddenly felt that there was some sort of real kind of release to be there and experience something truly unique.
You know, so for me, when I'm coaching people and talking, I get a lot of feedback from listeners, right? And the idea of, okay, deciding who you want to be, that sounds amazing. And I think so many people have thought about that, but then they don't know where to start. Like, because like, it's awesome when you say, just be you, figure out who it is that you want to be. But you know, the actual actualization of that, of stepping into it and then just going, all right, like, let's figure who I am out. Because also, you guys, what we may not have mentioned is that Caroline has a identical twin sister. So I think there's an interesting thing to be said for psychology personality of going, like, really figuring out who you are, not just in relation to you, but, like, in relation to your family, your twin sister. And, like, how did you, when you stepped into France, when I met you, and you said, all right, like, this is who I'm going to be. How did, was it a process of just experimentation of getting to know yourself and figuring out, like, or you just kind of went, all right, let me give this a go. Like, how did that work? Because I think there's a lot of people that don't know. What does that feel like? And did you feel, like, scared?
I don't think I was scared because I had nobody to really challenge it.
Because we didn't matter.
No. You didn't matter to me then. Right now, I'd be more scared, yeah. Do you know what? I think I completely forgotten the question.
The question is... The question is, it wasn't a well-worded question. How did you figure out, like, I'm going to be this new person?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So all I knew is that I wanted to be the more confident version of me, to be less worried about what people thought about me, to be less reliant upon people giving me, you know, those confidence boosts. So that was all I really wanted to do. So by going and forcing myself to introduce myself to people and being that friendly person, it's that kind of... it's that fear of there's a really great person in London who basically has this this expression. It's called my brain's gone dead. It's really good. It's like the
jet lag. We'll give you credit for jet lag.
Yeah, jet lag. Thank you. Yeah. It's not the fear of asking. It's basically the opposite. I can't remember what it is, but basically it's the intention is about going up to people and asking, and not being afraid to ask people. Can you give me directions? Can you help me? You know, that's a really lovely sweater you have on. Where did you find that? You know, or and even like to the point where you can sit down next to someone. Do you mind if I sit with you? There's no other seats. Or, you know, and the fear of asking, I think that's something that people are so, it's such a big part of, I think, our lives. Certainly British people, we're very backwards and coming forwards. So, you know, in the mornings, it's eyes down. You do not talk on the train. You don't interact with people. If you start a phone call on a train or something, oh my God, the looks you will get. It's just the unwritten rules. So the whole concept around asking people for stuff is very foreign, but it actually opens up opportunities that you would never have experienced before. And that's where my mindset was as well when I went to France. And that's where it kind of stemmed from, I guess. I found so many opportunities that opened up to me, great friends. I remember the first night that we were actually at that, you know, this was day one, day dot. And we turn around and there's a group of us that said, do you know what? Let's travel and let's go to Madrid. Let's go to Barcelona. And that was on the first day that we met
each other, but we said, let's go to a new country together.
And we did it. Yeah. And we did do it. And that to me really stuck. There were times where I suddenly decided I'm going to be open to every opportunity, whether it's ridiculous, whether it's small, whether it's big, and just allow myself to experience things that I'd never experienced before or were told that you shouldn't do because that's kind of the British way.
Oh, that's so interesting. And, you know, I didn't even think about how we really did explore asking because we, you know, when we hung out in France and we spent a year together, we had another friend, the three of us were sort of attached to the hip, but we asked for cars. We borrowed people's cars that we barely knew. We went on vacations with people that we barely knew. We just said, sure, we'll come. Like, we invited ourselves to so many things and I didn't even think about that was part of the process for us.
Yeah. And I think the other kind of the second part I would say is that the confidence piece for me was about I knew that I needed to be the more confident self. But to do that meant I had to kind of fake it. Yeah. And that's what we were talking about before, was around the fact that you've got to fake it till you make it. And for me, by faking the confidence that I had, which I wouldn't necessarily advise it all the time, but certainly in an issue like that, right, you start to believe it. You start to actually really mm-hmm. trust yourself and believe in that confidence. And then it just comes naturally. And for me, in terms of my life, my work, my career, you know, a lot of the experiences I've had, I've faked a lot of it to get to where I am today, and slowly actually learn on the experience, on the work, on the jobs itself, to be to a position where actually I am doing everything that I said I could do. Just took me a little bit longer than everyone else, I realized. So
you just actualized it after you visualized it. Exactly. And you told yourself it. So that's, you know, I think it's interesting. I think all three of us were faking it till we made it. But what's beautiful about this friendship, and you know, Caroline and I were speaking, last time we saw each other was 8 years ago. Yeah. I was in Scotland, we spent some time in London. But the thing is like we can pick up in a minute of seeing each other, and there's no time left because we truly, there was this camaraderie that happens when true friendship is not competition based, not comparison based, and is just, let's explore our best selves together. And we, the three of us, complimented each other, and we spent, I think, months together just laughing mm-hmm. and saying, all right, what does this world have for us? Let's go try something new, and just encouraging one another in that. And, you know, you and I were talking earlier over coffee about how so many beautiful, amazing, empowered people, women and men alike, don't know how amazing they are simply because most people don't tell them. Like can you elaborate on that? Because you had some really great insight on that.
No, I think it's people when they get to it can be whatever position you are, but normally people that are slightly higher up, you know, they've made it in the world or the industry that they are. And often what happens is they never get compliments. Nobody tells them you're doing a great job. You know, that presentation you did was fantastic, or, you know, you just genuinely giving them, that source of confidence, because people believe that they have it, that they should, because they're in that position of power. And actually what I find is that the more people I speak to, actually they need that reassurance and that acknowledgement of just how good a job they're doing, just like anybody else does in their position, but they're still missing that.
Or it could be based on like someone you think is the most beautiful person, and they're like, they obviously know they're gorgeous. They probably most often don't, because nobody tells them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Nobody ever tells me. I find it really insulting.
I tell you all the time.
I know you did at the beginning of the podcast, but nobody can see me, so no one believes you.
So the other thing I wanted to, you know, so you are, what's so interesting about Caroline does is what I didn't know until what she does, is what she actually does today. I just knew she was in Dubai last week. She's in the United States this week. She's going to New York tomorrow. I mean, good Lord, this woman is traveling everywhere. And she's a woman in technology, in a leadership position in technology, which is such a minority. And, you know, and I just wanted to see, you know, we talked about faking it till you make it in all aspects of your life, so you can step in confidence. But can you talk about what that looked like? What that looked like in a professional capacity? Because like social capacity makes more sense. There's a little bit less at risk when you're stepping into this and you're growing in your industry. I mean, how do you start, and like how do you not be afraid that like, hey, I hope I can pay my bills this month. Like I hope I'm not over ambitious.
Yeah, and I think. You've already got to have the skills or the qualities. Right. I think that's, you know, don't fake something that's completely unrealistic.
Don't lie on your resume.
Yeah, pretty much. But embellish. I'm a great believer in embellishing your resume. And I, you know, the difference is, and I find this really interesting, and I will come back to your point in a second, okay. But men and women in the world of business are very different. Now, a woman will look at a job description and pick out probably 5 or 6 things that they can't do and go, that job's not for me, I can't do that.
I've heard this.
Yes. Yeah. A man will look at that job description and say, oh, I can do those 2 things. Mm-hmm. Definitely, I'm going to go for the job. And there's this inherent confidence from a male perspective that they'll go for those jobs, whereas women are much more reticent. Now, for me, I look at a job description with a male view of things, and I think, you know what, I can do that job, and I can do it just as well as anybody else can. And this isn't about sexism or anything like that. This is just about you as an individual understanding and going for something that you believe in. Back to what your question around, you know, kind of how did you start, and you know into the business world, and you know, making sure you can actually pay your bills and stuff. There is a level of risk going for a job where you're not 100% sure it's right for you. And don't get me wrong, I've gone for jobs which weren't right, and I've been quite honest and open with that business to say, do you know what, this isn't for me, this isn't for you, mm-hmm. I'm not doing a good enough job for you, mm-hmm. so I'm gonna walk away.
Yeah.
Obviously having a job ready, don't, yeah, you need it lined up. Yeah, I had a lineup. But the jobs that I've been very successful with have been the ones where I knew I had the skill sets, I knew I had the qualities to be able to do well, I just needed the opportunity. So that embellishment allowed me to enter that world and actually prove it.
And make it true.
Yeah, and the big thing I think that we, you know, kind of my industry in the tech side of things is, you know, you cannot go into a job, spend 3 months there and then expect to be given the promotion or the next position.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in our this new generation and certainly with millennials out there, I think there is that expectation mm-hmm. that they, you know, they should be given certain things. That might come as a bit of a provocative statement, but that's kind of what I believe and what I see in the industry.
Yeah.
I'm a great believer that, you know, get into a business, prove your worth, you know, be there, embed yourself, not just from, you know, the role that you're doing, but prove other areas of your roles. You know, what else can you do that adds value to that business? So really, so even if you're 70% there with the job that you're doing, that other 30% is made up with something that's even more powerful for that business they never expected you to be doing.
That's awesome. Over-deliver.
Over-deliver, but in areas that they wouldn't necessarily expect. Still deliver on your other role.
Mm-hmm.
But then that's where the stepping stones come. So for me, I then went into the next position up, and then I've gone into the next position up.
Mm-hmm.
Because inherently, I was always thinking, what can I do more of? What's next? And they started to see the value and think, okay, maybe she's not just the new business gal, actually maybe she's got, you know, more of a client services head, maybe she's got more of an EMEA director level head. And that's where, for me, getting to the position where I am now, I can see those stepping stones,
mm-hmm.
and I faked it, I've made it to mm-hmm. where I am today, but that's not where I'm going to finish. There's bigger right. things for me out there.
Well, I think that's interesting is you not waiting for somebody to tell you what to do. You basically have navigated your life giving yourself permission. Like, I think that's what we discovered together in France. I give myself permission to be me. I get myself permission to run down the street and make somebody pee in their pants so laugh so hard. Or like you didn't wait for somebody to give you permission to try a new role. You expanded and grew into that to make yourself invaluable.
Mm-hmm.
We were without worrying about, I hope I'm not stepping on someone's toes, just saying, hey, I'm here with a serpent's heart to improve this company and to make show them that they're probably underusing me.
Mm-hmm. And where you can't fake it, and you know you need somebody to push you.
Yeah.
What I've done is, and in most of the companies I've worked for, is selected what I would call a mentor or somebody that would push me that little bit further, that would take me out of my comfort zone even further.
Mm.
So right now for me, public speaking is something that doesn't come naturally. I mean, I get the jittery, horrible voice with that, you know, your mouth goes dry and you do this weird sound.
Except she's like born to speak like in front of people. Like you are a showman, like if I've ever seen one.
Well, you know me, and that's where the confidence of being around friends that you can get.
Right.
The difference is where you're in front of 160 people doing a presentation and you're confident in your subject, but you still have that niggling doubt of they're looking at me. What are they critiquing me? Are they judging me? Am I saying things right? Am I succinct in what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Do I look okay? Like, there's all of these things that's mulling around your head instead of focusing actually on what's important, which is, you know, the moment in time where you're delivering something to be super proud of.
Yeah.
And often, you know, people are so distracted by the veneer
mm-hmm.
that's around, not the substance that's there. And that's what's more important.
Super true. You know, one other question I had for you, and I wanted we had mentioned over coffee, was after you came back, you declared yourself a new person. So I'm going to retract our conversation a little bit. You declared yourself a new person in France. We, you know, you came alive, but then you went back to university. You went back to school, and you went back to friends who had a hard time accepting this new, confident Caroline. I remember you calling us or emailing, and you know, this is the days when email was like kind of just new, right? When that was our form of communication. We certainly couldn't text each other internationally. It cost way too much. So. And we were broke, so it was that. It was both of those, all of those things. But you, can we talk a little bit about, because a lot of my listeners go through personal growth, but the problem was you go step into confidence and you shine light. It shines light on other people's stagnancy. So can you share a little bit of how you navigated that and any lessons you learned from it?
Do you know what? You're right. When I came back from France, the friends that I have, and to be honest, don't have anymore for a very specific reason, is that they couldn't deal with the new me. And they were quite used to me being subservient, slightly more in the background, not being the one that's kind of making jokes or putting herself out there and having a laugh, you know. And they really struggled to deal with it. And, yeah. and in turn, I struggled to deal with it because I'm thinking, should I go back to the way that I was before? And I don't want to do that because I really, really enjoy who I am now. Mm. So what I found is that, you know, I didn't wait around for them to change to kind of meet me in the middle. And eventually they drifted away. And I found other friends, people that responded well to my new confidence that I still have as friends today, which is a shame. But I do think when it comes to friendships, there are moments in time. And there's great moments in time with friends, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But then you do have friends that stay the kind of the, what's the expression? Last the stay.
A season, for a reason, season, and lifetime.
Oh, no, I didn't use that expression.
There are friends for a season, there are friends for a reason, and you have friends for a lifetime.
I like that. Yeah, that's much better than what I was going to say, which I can't even remember. No, that's good. So, and I'm a great believer in that. But, and we kind of talked about this before, and this is slightly going off on a tangent now, so you can delete this out if you don't find it interesting. But around, you know, the female-male relationships, I think the ones that are really important to me are the ones that are more male relationships, the ones where you have that lengthy gap that you can go back and you can pick up 8 years on.
Right, she said, the first thing she said to me, the first hour, she was like, we have such a male relationship. I was like, oh, tell me about it. What do you mean?
It's the manly voices. You know, it's being able to pick up after 8 years and not judge that person or resent them for that gap in time. And I'm a really poor communicator at the best of times. Fantastic with my job when it comes to friendships. Do you know what? It's just, I'm a failure. I'm a failure in that. But that's the male relationships. And I think, whereas women, we sometimes are so affronted by that person not wanting to nurture that relationship. Mm. And it's different friendships, of course. Sure. But anyway, the point is that I have no point apart from I really like that point. There you go.
No, but I think what we had when we were talking about that just briefly earlier is that a male relationship is a relationship that's built of confidence. There's not insecurity of saying, because this person's not communicating to me, she doesn't care about my children that she's not met. Like, there was no, because I didn't feel that way at all. I just know that you're in London and you love me.
Yeah.
Period. And that when you meet my children, which you have, we've met one so far, we meet the next, the other one was sleeping. So we're going to have dinner with him tonight, dinner with Baker. But like, I know that you love them. I already know that you love them because there's no threat or competition or, I don't know, even comparison in the relationship because we just know that, like that, I think that's the, for me, it's like finding relationships in your life that are built on confidence, mm-hmm. are built on love. And there's, you don't have to argue that. There's no insensitivity.
And there's no faking that.
Yeah. Oh, interesting way to bring down the topic. I mean, a faking it till you make it.
It's facilitation. I bring it back around, 360. But interesting enough, there is no faking that. And I think those friendships, and I can pinpoint the relationships that I've kind of, you know, you drag them along and you think, yeah, it'll get better. And that's with personal kind of boyfriends or girlfriends that you have. But when it comes to friendships, You have to be able to rely on those people. And really, I always maintain that there's only a handful of true friends that you can have that at a given time, if you can drop anything and say, I need your help, I need to talk desperately or whatever, that they will drop everything to be there for you. And you can't fake that.
No. I love that. Let's close out this time with your words of advice. The best, but what are the maybe top two things in that you do to elevate your confidence as you kind of, so it's been probably a 10-year process, probably 10, well, how long ago oh my gosh, it's been like 12 years since, 12 years that you've been really walking in confidence. Yeah. What are one or two like must-dos for you? I know you mentioned one earlier about the looking right. So is there anything else that you do? Share that one and then anything else.
Yeah. So I have this adage and I, you know, tell myself every morning, if you look good, I don't tell myself every morning, but you know, give or take, if you look good, for me, you feel good and you act good. Mm. Look good, feel good, act good. Mm. That isn't for anybody else. That's for yourself. Right. And that just builds inner confidence. That exudes outwards. That's my first one. And I would say that my second one, and I had a really good one, but then you brought that one up and I completely forgot it. What
was it? Maybe it's just waving your arms frantically make other people feel.
No, so my second one is tell yourself every time that you want to do something, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. So to give you an example, the other week when I was speaking in front of an audience of, you know, kind of 160 people, and I was peeing my pants, you know, and I thought, oh my God, yeah. I was thinking, I'm not sure I want to do this. Yeah. And people kept saying to me, are you nervous? And I was thinking inside, yes, hell yes, I'm nervous. Yeah. But on the outside, I said, no, I'm fine. That's okay. The more you say that, the more people are trying to trip you up by saying, are you nervous? Are you, what's going on? The more you tell yourself, no, I'm not nervous. And the more you say it out loud, the less nervous you'll be. The more you accept the faults that people are trying to put on you, the more it will actually become a fruition. So just believe in yourself and, you know, tell yourself you can do something, even if you don't really think you can.
Amen, sister. And on that note, let's end with a cheers. You guys are joining our wine conversation. Thank you, Caroline, for your wisdom, for your love, for really being a pivotal person who launched me to literally a whole nother level of confidence and joy in my life. You guys, and if you've read my first book, you guys have heard a little bit about how France changed me. It wasn't France. I mean, it was France, but France plus Caroline and Angie. It was this gift from God planted, and I mean, I have to say it's divine intervention, and I just am so grateful for it.
I completely agree. Yeah. I can't say anything better than that.
All right, one more cheers.
I mean, and there you have it. I hope you guys just are as delighted to hear her insight, her amazing accent, and just her spirit of joy as I was. I'm just actually really tickled that as I'm re-listening to this, that I get to have this memory and this of capturing this conversation and our memories and this really how we grew into this place of confidence together. And that's why I love this community, this confidence podcast. And I love my College of Confidence community as well, as you guys, confidence isn't a solo journey. It is something we do together. It is something we celebrate as we connect with others. We build one another up. Confidence is contagious. And that is really for us what happened in our time in France together. It is this contagious growth that we did in this crazy, unexpected way. And I hope that that encourages you. I hope that you know that you decide and you step into the person you want to be. And that when you choose to see yourself as that successful, as that happy, as that thriving person, when you start to believe it, you then start to act it, you start to become it. And it's so funny because it's simple, but it's not easy. But it is, and it's from my experience, it's a lot easier than you think it is. And so I want to encourage you, whatever's holding you back, it doesn't have to anymore. If you've got toxic friends, it's time to get a new set of friends. It's time to start deciding, how do you want to design your life? How do you want to feel? How much joy do you want to have? What is it that you want? And let's go get that. The world is your oyster. You can do anything that you want to do. And so I'm going to leave you with that a couple quick announcements. I forgot to let you know that this podcast today is sponsored by my mastermind. It is an upcoming 2019 mastermind for entrepreneurs. If you're a mom and you're an entrepreneur and you want to be around people like Caroline and Angie, and no, they're not in the mastermind, but I want to create in my Mom Boss Mastermind that camaraderie, that companionship, that courage and confidence that's contagious. And so if you want 2019 to be your year to thrive, both as a mom who's able to be more present, more engaged, more alive, more confident, and also as an entrepreneur, building your business, building your brand, building your reach, building your mission, or showing up in the world for the way that God created you to, and you want to create more time to be a mom and more time to make the income that you want to create with your business, then the Mom Boss Mastermind is for you. It launches in 2019. It is application only. Applications are due this month. It's about a 15-question application. You get the application by going to trishblackwell.com/mastermind. And I do hope that you join me and create the group. And I'm personally handpicking and limiting to 8 people who we're going to create. Many ways I'm working to recreate a small micro community of just of what I got to experience with Caroline and Angie that elevated my life and changed me for the better. And then what we're doing with the Mom Boss Mastermind is that, but we're doing it as moms and as mompreneurs. So it's both for your personal and your professional life. And I literally cannot wait. We're doing retreats. We're doing in-person retreats as well. So trishblackwell.com/mastermind. Applications are due at the end of November. So, okay, let's highlight my favorite part of the week, right? It's one of my favorite things to do every week is to highlight our listener of the episode. Our listener of the episode is selected by somebody who reaches out to me on social media. So whether it's on Instagram, Facebook, you shoot me an email, you write a review. I just love letting you guys know that even though it's my voice that you're hearing, I'm hearing your voice back. We are a community. We are celebrating one another. We are growing in confidence. And we are stepping forward and growing each and every day into a better version of ourselves. And this week, it is Marlissa Hollister. She said, "Trish, thank you so much for your amazing podcasts. I've been a faithful listener of yours for several years now and have increased been encouraged and motivated to keep growing. And you are one of the most consistent voices of truth in my life. And you've helped me to overcome and continue to work through disordered eating habits, abusive relationships, and self-sabotage as a result of hating myself. I've come such a long way over the past 2 years, but I've got a long way to go. And I'm excited to see how God will continue to grow and heal me. One really exciting thing that I absolutely had to tell you about me was my husband's newest venture we just finished. In March of this year, we set out to hike the entire Appalachian Trail from Georgia to Maine, and we just completed it on October 14th. What a crazy hard but amazing venture it was, and it was so special to do it together with my husband, who is the best man in the world and has been such a strong rock for me through everything. We celebrated our 5th year anniversary out there and are so blessed to have a happy, beautiful relationship and to be able to complete this epic hiking journey. I wanted to thank you for your consistent truth that you speak over us listeners on taking action, on doing hard things, on taking control of our own success and happiness. I did such a 180-degree turn in my thinking once I started listening, and I wanted to give you some credit for me completing this hike, and I had to say a big thank you for all of the ways you've invested in my life through your podcasts. I had down days sometimes on the trail, and I needed a little encouragement, and so when I did, I popped in my earbuds, and I turned on my Trish podcast, and it worked. Thank you for all the time you put into each week to deliver us, the listeners, an amazing podcast, and for faithfully showing up and using your gifts and your stories to bring truth and love to this world. You truly are making a beautiful difference in so many lives. Marlissa. And P.S. I know you have a full life and not a lot of extra time in your day, but in case you want to check it out, here is our blog on the Appalachian Trail hike. And it's www.mindoverblazes.com. That's MINDOVERBLAZES.com. Marlissa, girlfriend. Okay, you had to be highlighted listener episode for saying, hey, you faithfully show up, because today's a day that I'm hoarse and I faithfully showed up. And so I know that somebody like you is feeling loved by that. And you're not judging the sound quality. You're just knowing that I'm showing up with all heart on my sleeve. And I want to let you know and let others know that you guys are my people. You're my family. You're my virtual family. And you truly, the feedback that I hear from you, the encouragement, the reaches out on social media, the way you connect and you just say thank you, it gets me to show up. It gets me to keep remembering that you are out there and that it is making a difference. And so you are an answer to prayer for me. So thank you for that. It's an affirmation. You're for every affirmation and thank you I get from you guys. It's like a hug from God saying, keep going, faithful servant, right? So I want to thank you from that, from the bottom of my heart. And the next thing, Marlissa, go you. I am so pleased and proud of you. And the Appalachian Trail is no joke. It is hard. And girlfriend, you can do hard things. And you proved it. And I'm just in all of that awe, because I live, you know, in Virginia. I'm very familiar with Appalachian Trail and I've hiked portions of it and it's hard. And I just love that you and your man got to go out there and do that. And what an amazing opportunity, amazing commitment. And what a great way to celebrate your 5th year wedding anniversary. And congratulations on that, my friend. And then the final thing I love about your email is that you're like, look, I know your life is very full, but here's our blog. And girl, of course I checked it out, and it's a fantastic blog, and you have great pictures and gorgeous scenery shots. And anybody out there that's one encouraged, or I'm sharing this and I wanted to read it on the air so that you, one, you can hopefully get some more visitors to your blog, two, encourage people who've maybe had a dream of saying, oh man, I'd love to hike the Appalachian Trail or do something like that, that they go see that, hey, if you can do it, they can do it, right? And just like with anything, just start by saying, I can fake it till I make it, and start by committing. I'm also sharing your blog because I know there's a lot of people out there go, I want to do a blog, but I just don't know where to start. And I'm not sure if I, who's going to read it? Well, I will. Somebody else will. If one person reads it, if 1,000 people read it, if 1,000,000 people read it, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you show up, that we are not responsible for the outcome of our efforts. We are responsible for our effort. We are responsible for showing up, for hearing what God has put on our heart and showing up and doing, and then sharing it boldly with the world. And girlfriend, you have done that. And I'm just saying, you're walking, breathing, just light of love. And your courage is going to show so many more people how to do that. So I'm just tickled to death that we get to be connected. And thank you. Thank you, girl, for being you. Now, guys, on that note, don't forget Mom Boss Mastermind, let's do it. I would love to spend next year with you. Now go out there today. Go be more of who you are. Be you. Be free.
Thanks for listening. You can get more confidence resources at trishblackwell.com. If you loved the show, let me know by writing a review on iTunes and by connecting with me on the gram at trish_blackwell. You can take your confidence to the next level for free by downloading my detox devotional. The detox devotional is 5 days of 5-minute devotions to inspire joy, infuse you with confidence, and help you own the truth that God loves you deeply. Now be more, be free, be you, and be here for next week's show. I'll see you then.